Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Dr. Robert Snyder. I'm the medical director for the Bureau of Workers' Compensation. Welcome you to this medical payment committee. I have asked Leanne Lewis to chair the meeting in the absence of Mary Yarborough. I think that Mr. Cromer does have a proxy, and Leanne also has a proxy, so I believe that we can start the meeting. If you would, please, Leanne.
Okay. It looks like the first thing we need to do is call roll, right?
Correct.
Mark? Yes, this is Mark Fings. I'll be glad to call the roll. So just start out. Ms. Leanne Lewis?
Present.
And you hold the proxy for Mr. Josh Heffinger?
Yes.
Mr. Will Cromer?
Present.
And you hold the proxy for Dr. Yarborough?
Sure, glad to.
Ms. Jennifer Guffey?
Yeah.
Dr. Roy Johnson? Dr. Robert Snyder?
Here.
Okay, we have, including proxies, we have 6 out of 7, so that is enough for a quorum.
Okay. Okay, and then Dr. Snyder, do you want to go through our phone participants and do introductions?
Sounds good. Okay, so could whoever's on the phone at 417-269 please identify themselves?
Yes, this is Nancy Grace, and I am with Ozark Anesthesia.
Okay, thank you. And 615-335?
Tommy Castleberry with Concentra Medical Centers.
Okay. Hi there.
Hello.
The couple other people that I do not recognize, Darren Thomas.
Darren Thomas, Chief Operating Officer of Easy Scripts Pharmacy, LLC.
Okay. And David Ward.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm an attorney here in Nashville with the firm Eraclides Gelman. Two of our clients have notifications here today. One on a few on Mr. Anthony Bates, and then one on Paul McCullough.
Okay, thank you. Okay, very well. Okay, next, Leanne.
Okay, so our next item on the list is to look at the meeting minutes from our last meeting that we had. And do I have from the group a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting?
I motion to approve. This is Jenny.
Okay. And Leanne, I'll go ahead and second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? Nope. All right, then that passes as recommended on there. So now to our agenda for today. The first thing under old business is to go through cases. So I'll turn it over to you, Dr. Snyder.
Okay, so the summary to the cases have been sent to the committee members, and so I'll start to run through them. The first, we have some holdover cases from 2024. The first one was SH Knoxville versus Mitchell, where a DME was not paid. A 90-day letter was sent from the last committee on May the 7th. No response was received as of August the 7th. So as of today, that case will be closed. Case 2024-87 is the same. A 90-day closure letter was sent out on May the 7th. No response was received by August the 25th. And so that case is closed. 2024-88, we have been notified that that case was closed, and so it also was not reviewed by the committee. And now we're going on to cases for 2025. The first one is St. Francis Conifer versus Public Entity, where incorrect payment to a fee schedule for a lumbar discectomy. St. Francis billed $391,738.50, and the $32,846.44 was paid. Conifer expected more, and so Christina, you have a report on this case?
I do, Dr. Snyder. Can you hear me okay?
We can. Thank you.
Okay. So the provider is requesting additional allowance for the hospital stay for the surgery date of service 2/22/24, stating they were underpaid. Initial reimbursement was for $740.73. And then they resubmitted, and they were reimbursed an additional $32,105.71. So in reviewing this bill, the patient was in on 215 for all of their pre-op lab work, their chest x-ray, their EKG. Then they returned on 222 for their spinal surgery, stayed overnight, and they were discharged the next day. So per the Tennessee fee schedule guidelines for ASCs and outpatient hospital care, pre-admission lab x-rays may be billed separately from the ambulatory surgery bill when performed 24 hours or more prior to the admission, and they'll be reimbursed the lesser of the bill charges or the fee listed in the rate tables. Pre-admission lab and radiology are not included in the facility payment. With supporting documentation, pre-op labs, x-ray, and EKG could be reimbursable. The only supporting documentation I found in this was for the EKG. Patient came back to the hospital on 222 for their spinal fusion. Spinal fusion, which is CPT code 22633 for a lumbar fusion, is per CMS, is a J1 status indicator. So a J1 status indicator provides a single payment for a primary service, and payment for all adjunctive services reported on the same claim are packaged into that payment for the primary service. Therefore, implants would not be reimbursed. St. Francis billed these services on a bill type 137, which is a hospital outpatient corrected claim. Under this bill type, implants are not carved out. Tennessee Workers' Comp fee schedule stopped carving out implants from these types of bills back in February of 2018. The only payment allowed under this claim are the pre-op labs and tests with documentation and the CPT code 22633 lumbar arthrodesis. Per date of service 2/22/24, Fair Health rate pages were not available until April 1st. Therefore, all services prior to that were reimbursed at the fourth quarter of fee schedule 2023. The amount allowed by the Tennessee fee schedule should be $33,117.86. St. Francis was reimbursed $32,846.44. So the amount due to the provider is $271.42 with supporting documentation for their pre-op lab work.
Any comments or any questions? A lot of work went into that. Thank you, Christina.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that was a lot for the end result to be $271. That's unusual for us, for sure. And does anyone in the any attendees have any questions about any of this before I start asking for approvals? No? Okay. Do I have a motion to accept the recommendation as presented?
Motion to accept.
I move.
Okay, I'll take that as a second. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, then that one passes as recommended. Thanks so much for your work on that one.
Next case is 2025, number 19, Easy Scripts Pharmacy versus Great West, where a PPO discount was taken without a contract. I believe that we have a representative from Easy Scripts, if they would like to comment now.
Hello, yes, this is Ashley Dyke from Easy Scripts. We originally billed Great West for a charge of $77.40 for acetaminophen codeine and tramadol. The carrier issued a payment of $46.44. It was discounted by Reliant Health Partners. They applied a PPO contract to our bill, even though we are not part of their network. And then when we corresponded with them further, they said that they are not a network, but a cost containment company, and would not provide further information as to why they repriced the bills, how they did. So we submitted an appeal to Great West. We received additional payment for one of the days of services that we filed on. So now all that is outstanding is the $30.96 for our data service, May 20th, 2024.
So in spite of your request, the Great West could not provide any documentation of a contract that would be valid for you. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Committee, any questions from the committee?
Well, I'm trying to think of an example of something like this that we've ever dealt with, and nothing's coming to mind. It sounds like they thought there was a contract applied, but then later the information from Great West said, well, that wasn't actually a contract. It was some other, it sounds like maybe proprietary process that was applied to reduce the bill. So I think our role in this is just to say the fee schedule is whatever it is. And beyond that, I mean, we can't make a recommendation about whether a contract or a proprietary process is valid. Am I off base on that, Dr. Schneider? What do you think?
I'll have to ask Amanda on that one. So we do not get into contract issues.
Right.
I think this really has the question as whether or not Great West assented to the fact that they do not have a contract. And so I think the only question for us is the merits of the claim. Without a contract, then what's due the provider?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Dr. Schneider, I would also agree that that's the case.
Any other committee? So I would suggest that the committee just on the merits of the case say that without a contract, that an additional $30.96 is due the provider.
I will go ahead and make that recommendation. Yes, that the additional is due in the absence of a contract. And is there a second? Well, you'll second? All right. All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. That passes as we discussed.
Okay. Case 22 is Dr. Hazelwood versus reinsurance. Z-code was not paid, but there was still an incorrect initial submission, and to this date we have not received a updated correct submission. So that case remains pending. Case 24 is Dr. Hazelwood versus Hartford, where a denied Z code was paid. Case 25 was another Z code by Sedgwick that was paid. Case 26, another Sedgwick Z code that was paid. Case 27, Z code and a global code was paid. So we're on to now case 28. But cases 28 through 30, let me see, 37. So 28 through 37 is a complicated case that I'm going to try to summarize for you. So this was an individual who originally had a lung injury that was compensable in 2017. And she was then in either 2019 or 2020 settled the claim for open medicals due to the compensation, due to the lung injury. Then in early 2024, she died after multiple different providers, including short stays in the hospital and an ambulance. The insurer would not pay without providers claim forms on the proper UB04 or the CMS 1500, and the insurance company Summit submitted the cases. They said that they were unable to get responses from the providers. What complicates this case a little bit is that this one is in mediation over death benefits, and so the estate and the death benefits as a result are in mediation and before the Bureau. In the past, we have not been involved as a collection agency for an insurance company. However, in this case, we're kind of in a very difficult situation. And so what I would, there are two ways that we could handle this. The first is to allow the mediator to try and get these providers. And the second possibility would be for the committee staff to try to get in touch with the providers. This is going to require a certain significant amount of effort because there's seven different providers on these bills. So it's going to require either way. It's going to require a significant amount of benefit. But I bring this to the committee's attention, and I also ask the committee what their wishes should be. Should we just, since it is in mediation, to let mediation go forward, or should we at least give one try to try to get the providers to pay these bills?
I just want to make sure I understand. One potential solution is for the Bureau to contact the providers on behalf of the insurance carrier and ask for these bills on the bill forms?
We would actually be contacting them on behalf of the mediator. As an aid to the mediation, to the Bureau's mediation.
Well, I know we have in the past tried to contact, the Bureau has in the past tried to contact providers when additional information in general is needed. Like the first couple of cases we talked about, I think that's what was going on. We never got a response, but we did try.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I would imagine the Bureau maybe has better information about how to get their hands on this documentation as compared to the mediator, who maybe wouldn't have as much experience with that, unless I'm making bad assumptions.
I think that's right. I think if we get enough information, we can certainly contact the providers. So essentially, I'm essentially asking the committee to agree to allow the Bureau to try to contact the providers at least once.
I can't think of anything that would be problematic about that, besides that it's adding a bunch of work to somebody on your side. Is anybody
Me.
Else? Yeah. That ain't,
and then what
more
happens
to
if
do?
You get no response?
Just one try,
Yeah, just give them one try if we've got enough information. Yeah. Okay. I agree.
That seems reasonable and definitely a lot of help.
Yeah, this is a, you know, the estate of this poor lady, you know, and the family, you know, are trying to get a resolution.
Right.
So.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you for, we'll keep you informed next meeting.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Case 38. Dr. Hazelwood versus Gallagher Bassett. Office visit was denied for prior surgery. This was again an incorrect Z code, where they recoded it as a surgery, and as a result, then they denied the office visit. The bill was $230. Nothing was paid. Expected $195.21. Recommendation for an additional due the provider of $195.21, less any contractual discounts.
Just looking at the, yeah, it looks like another one where the Z is being translated to a 2.
Yes.
We've had a bunch of those. Okay, any questions from the committee on this one? Do I have a motion to accept the recommendation?
Motion to accept.
Okay, and Leanne, I'll make the second since I can do that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that one passes as recommended.
Case 39, another global Z code was paid. Case 40 has been deferred. This was a payment for a right below elbow prosthesis, and we have not received all of the information yet. Case 41 is Ozark Anesthesia Associates versus Van Leer Paradigm for an incorrect payment for anesthesia. This was billed as $1,995. They paid $1,066.28. They expected $1,425. Medical fee schedule. This date of service was 5-2. And the reductions, I had given you a summary in the summary of the adjustment codes that they used on the database, and then on the actual rules for anesthesia payments that are under the anesthesia guidelines in our rules. The first three line items that they reviewed were incorrectly applied. So the first one was that FairHealth benchmark data was used for the geographic area. That's not used in Tennessee. Then the second one was they incorrectly applied the out-of-state providers to our fee schedule. And then they said an adjustment code was mandated for local regulations. All three of these were incorrectly applied. And so when I reviewed these codes, I went through our guidelines, I gave you a summary that in this case, the procedure code was correctly applied. OAA explanation said they used the ASA relative value guidelines for Missouri state law, which is not correct since neither is correct for a Tennessee claim. But they only requested, however, the maximum allowable reimbursement for Tennessee. So they are correct in allowing $358.72 in additional payment to this provider, less any contractual discounts.
Yeah, I'm looking at the sixth page, the actual bill form, And this facility is in Missouri, so I bet that, which Missouri doesn't have a fee schedule, so that seems like it might be what's the problem. Any questions from the committee on this one? Oh, okay, then do I have a motion to accept the recommendation?
I move to accept the recommendation.
Okay, and a second?
A second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? You know, that recommendation passes as noted.
So the case 42 is date of service of 4:30, so a different date of service, but exactly the same patient and pretty much the same outcome, with a recommendation due of $358.72.
Exactly the same as the last one. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Any questions on this one?
Quick question. This is David Ward here. I'm pulling up the kind of notifications that our clients had. Case 42, is that the one concerning National Interstate?
National Interstate would be the employer or?
I believe they're the TPA that I believe bills were sent to instead of Paradigm Network.
The actual explanation of review that came with it says the payer is Paradigm on it.
Okay. Right. I noted that the Ozark rep is on the line as well. I'd be happy to connect with you after this and make sure that everybody's on the same page with this one.
So just case 42? Okay.
I have 41, 42, and 43, which I anticipate are all the same situation, the out-of-state provider, fee schedule stuff.
That's correct. And so you're going to contact them?
Sure. Yeah. But ma'am, go ahead, Dr. Snyder. I'm sorry.
Okay. And so who's on the line for Ozark anesthesia?
Yes, this is Nancy.
Okay. So, Nancy, would you give Mr. Ward your telephone number?
Yes, it's 417. 269-4521.
Thank you, Nancy. I'll be sure to get in touch with you this week.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So ask the committee to rescind their agreement on 41, please.
I guess we have to make a motion for that. Does the committee,
Does
anyone make a motion? I'll make the motion to rescind the decision on 41. And do I have a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Then that is rescinded. So 41, okay. 42, and 43 will be resolved outside of this. Yeah. Great.
Okay. So Ms. Grace or Mr. Ward, would you notify us once agreement on these three have been made?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Case 44 is Dr. Hazelwood versus Zurich, which was miscoded Z code again. The recommendation is due for an additional $324.03, less any contractual discounts.
Okay. Any questions from the? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. What case number was this? I have one with Dr. Hazelwood, but it's not until 63.
Yeah, this is 44.
Okay. All right. I'll hang tight.
Okay. If there's no questions, do I have a motion to accept the recommendation?
Motion to accept.
Okay. And I'll second it, Leanne. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And any opposed? All right, that one passes as recommended.
Case 45 has been paid for Z code. Case 46, Sims Murphy versus Liberty Mutual, where a procedure code for a board-certified neurosurgeon was not paid at the 275%, billed $16,830, paid $8,208.94, expected $9,797.79. The medical fee schedule is the 97.79, an additional due the provider of $1,588.85.
Any questions from the committee on this one? All right. And I will make a motion to accept the recommendation as noted. And do I have a second?
A second.
All righty. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that one passes as recommended.
Case 47 is another Z code violation. Dr. Hazelwood due an additional provider of $138.06.
All right. Any questions? No. All right. Then is there a motion to accept the recommendation?
Motion to accept.
And I will second that one. So all in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed? No, okay, that one passes as recommended.
Okay, case 48 was a Z code, again paid. Case 49 is Chattanooga Orthopedic Group versus Liberty Mutual, where they denied no prior authorization for a follow-up appointment. They did not pay anything, expected was due $172.57. There was a note on this one where the code was denied for services that were unrelated or not considered to be covered under the workers' compensation claim. It turns out that the note that was provided to the committee, that there was verbal authorization, and that was then denied by a new adjuster. So we have a situation where the adjuster's responsibility, even if they switch adjusters, is to know what the other adjuster has done with verbal authorization for appointments. It becomes very problematic if we're starting to get a situation where adjusters change and the follow-up is incomplete. So recommendation is due the provider of $172.57 in the letter that it is the adjuster's responsibility to cancel follow-up appointments.
Thinking towards signing these letters, which page has some of this is a little bit hard to read in what we got submitted. Where is the authorization and then the denial that later came? What page is that on?
What I have in my summary is the denial code is 5795.
Oh, that's what's on the explanation of review. Does the documentation that got submitted from the doctor's office have the authorization and then the denial? That's what I'm not seeing.
That's not clear to me. I'm not sure that I have that in front of me right now.
Okay. So I'm coming back up to the, sorry, this is taking me a second. So basically what's on the review request from the doctor's office, the findings, that's what you're referencing, where they yes. say, I contacted the adjuster and advised we were given verbal off from the previous adjuster. And then the new adjuster said no authorization was given past 9/24. Okay. So since it was verbal, there isn't documentation of that. Okay. That makes sense to me. Any questions from anyone else? Okay. Then, I will make a motion to accept the recommendation. And is there a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed? Okay, that one passes as recommended.
Case 50. This was a different date of service, but the same situation where verbal authorization was received for just aspiration of knee fluid and injection. And then the denial code was 293, which this procedure required prior authorization and none was identified. Again, we have a situation where verbal authorization was received. And also, I'm not sure that prior authorization is needed for knee aspiration of fluid on an office visit for orthopedic surgery. So I'm also questioning actually the need for any prior authorization, even though the coding comes out as a procedure code.
Okay. Any questions?
I'm recommending $373.36 due the provider.
Okay.
I move we adopt the recommendations as well.
Okay. And is there a second?
I second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Okay, that one passes as recommended.
Okay, case 51 has been paid. 52 has been paid. 53 has been paid. Fortunately, a lot of these finally got paid. 55 was again interestingly enough, this one was a little bit different. It was billed $202 and $37.20 were paid. The medical fee schedule indicated that that there should be an additional payment of $150.07.
Okay, any questions from the group on this one? Okay, is there a motion to accept the recommendation?
I will not be able to opine in on this one.
Okay, I will make the motion to accept the recommendation on this one. So I just need a second.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that one passes as recommended. We're on to 56.
Okay. Case 56, we have a report from Christina on this one. This was a case of Tenova versus ESIS on a reduced code. And Christina, if you'll go ahead.
Yes. This provider is requesting an additional reimbursement for date of service 4/1/2024 for a partial knee replacement. The fee schedule guidelines for that date of service was when we started referencing the Fair Health rate pages. So the amount that is allowed for the partial knee replacement, CPT code 27446, is $18,809.73. Provider was reimbursed $13,517.66. Therefore, the amount due to the provider less any applicable contractual allowances would be $5,292.07.
Okay, are there any questions from the group on this one? It's a lot, but it's pretty straightforward, I think. No? All right. I'll make a motion to accept the recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All righty, that one passes as recommended.
Case 57 is a denied office visit, again, with the Global and Z code. And so recommended additional due the provider of $248.18.
Okay. Is there a motion to accept the recommendation?
I move to accept.
Okay. And a second?
I second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Okay, that one's good as recommended. Passes as recommended.
Okay, and case 58 is, again, another denied Z code and drug test and office visit after an earlier miscoding of the Z code to procedure code. So an additional due the provider of $212.18.
Any questions from the one question I have, and forgive me if we've seen them in here. Have we seen some of these that were processed by Gallagher Bassett being reconsidered correctly? Because there's a lot of them, it seems like.
No.
And I know they're like six, 7 months old, but.
Yeah, not to this date.
Okie dokie.
So I'll go into what we've tried to do to correct these in a few minutes.
Okay. All righty. Anybody?
I get tired of doing this too. I get tired of doing these too again.
You read my mind.
Yes.
All righty. I will make the motion to accept the recommendation. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right. And all in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed? All righty. That one passes as recommended.
So case 59 is very interesting. This was a case where the attorney for ICW appealed to the committee for overbilling and impairment rating. I have spoken to the physician's assistant who agreed to the request to continue to try to justify the charge or justify the correction of the billing and the impairment rating. And so this one's still pending. The physician's office does understand that if in fact they are paid over the fee schedule, they have to reimburse within 180 days of receiving that overpayment. So, so far, we're no place close to those guidelines, but I did speak to the physician's office. So case 60 is St. Francis versus Hartford. This was, this case was deferred. Case 61 was Baptist Memphis versus Sedgwick that was closed for untimely submission. Case 62, where, West Bend, Mutual, did not pay a physician for a missed appointment, it was coded correctly, it is a recommendation that the missed appointment for $200 be paid and that the company be notified of our rule 800-02-17.14.
Okay, any questions from the committee on this one? And is there a motion to accept the recommendation?
To accept.
Okay, I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed? We're in the home stretch, everyone. That one passes as recommended.
Okay. Case 63. Again, this is a Z code violation. Additional due the provider of $150.07.
All right. I will make the recommendation or make the motion to accept this recommendation. And is there a second?
And real quick, since we're on 63, the claim that involves our clients, just a little more clarification. The Z code was incorrect. Is that what I heard?
The Z code was paid at a discount.
But
the problem was that the visit was denied because it was within the global period post surgery. And the fact that the Z code was reconfigured as a 2, so 20816 is a procedure code, and that's why the office visit was denied.
Got you. Okay. And so advice to our clients, how would you recommend they rectify?
That they read our handbook and update their billing and coding systems to identify the Tennessee Z codes. These are Z codes that are special to Tennessee, and it's a similar process that's used in Colorado.
Got you. All right.
It's likely that whatever these companies are using for their data capture processes do not recognize a Z as being valid at the beginning of a CPT code, so it's translating it to the number 2 instead. So software updates might need to happen to recognize codes that start with letters. I mean, there's HCPCS level 2 codes that start with letters, but Z is unusual.
Understood. All right. Thank you. And now what was that amount again?
$150.07.
Right. And that represents the difference between the denied code and the denied visit and the fee schedule?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Thank you for that clarification.
No problem. Is there a motion to accept the recommendation?
I move. Accept.
Okay. I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All righty. That one passes as recommended.
64, a missed appointment was paid. 65 is a discount for a behavioral assessment for depression, which was properly coded with a modifier. They billed $480, paid $413.23. They expected $419.84, so a difference of $6.61 due the provider. Less any contractual discount.
All right. Any questions from the group on this one?
Move to accept.
All right. And I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. That one passes as recommended.
The good news is we're finished. The last two have been paid.
Yay!
Thank you, everybody, for your patience on these.
Okay, so let me see what's on the agenda once we get through. That was a lot of cases. We haven't had that many in a while. It looks like the next item on the agenda is medical fee schedule updates.
So the medical fee schedule is currently in the Attorney General's office for approval. Once it clears the Attorney General's office, it will be published on the Secretary of State's website, and then within 90 days, it will become effective. So we just have to wait until the Attorney General's office releases their comments or any changes that we have to make. So all we can do is wait.
Okay. And next on, does anyone have any questions about that before we go on? No. All right. Then the next item you've got on here is issues with Z codes, which goes back to what I was asking about.
Right. So, after our last meeting, the first week in May, I sent letters, of the Z code issues, as a penalty to, four companies, to Sedgwick, Gallagher Bassett, Travelers, Mitchell, Coventry, and Light. Because these letters went out in May, obviously, Sedgwick has corrected theirs. Thank you, Jennifer, for doing that. The other companies, it's a little bit too soon to see whether or not new claims have been processed correctly. And so right now we're still, waiting to see whether or not, most of these companies have complied and updated their Z codes. K63 that we looked at was a different company. And so that's why fortunately we had a representative that would help us with that one. But we'll wait and see. But we did notify them, these four companies, which seem to be all of the ones that have, that we've been, identified with the Z codes. And we sent letters to each one of those.
Okay. All righty. That sounds
good.
So
hopefully, yeah. Hopefully I'm not going to wear out the committee with more of these.
If we continue to see them on the Gallagher Bassett ones by our next meeting, I'll see if it's been a few years since I worked at Coventry now and Light. But as far as I know, they're still doing bill review for Gallagher Bassett. I can see if I can maybe get in touch with somebody directly there to ask what's going on.
Well, I sent the letter to Brian Allen, so.
Yeah, I know.
He's always been very responsive, so I'm hopeful
he's as far as I know, he's over. He deals with mostly pharmacy stuff, but he should know somebody within the organization at Mitchell who can take care of it.
So hopefully, yep. Hopefully, we won't see much of that again.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, so go ahead if you want to announce new business.
Yeah, new business. The one thing I that is not on this agenda that I want to make sure I don't forget. I think we all need to send in our conflict of interest forms, right?
Please.
Is that what the email from? Yeah, I haven't done mine. Sometimes printing is a challenge for me. So. Everybody on the committee, please send those off to Lacey as soon as you can. And then the next item of new business on here is related to WCRI reporting.
So WCRI just this year issued their latest comparison of prices paid for professional services from the 36 states that are in their database. Tennessee comes in at about the fifth lowest as far as the comparison for prices paid for services, and they are within 5% of almost all of the states that have fee schedules. Those states that don't have fee schedules, interesting, are significantly higher. And Tennessee remains a little bit below the median when it comes to those fee schedules. It's 27th out of the 37 states that are covered by WCRI, and 27th meaning the 27 from the top, so toward the bottom. The cumulative growth rate in prices paid for physician services is less than almost every other state. There's the growth rate of prices paid for professional services is only 8% compared to the average of 30% from 2008 to 2024. And this was one of the impetuses, or the previous information that we had was what we recommended with the fee schedule increases that are now in the Attorney General's office, increasing physical therapy by 30-some percent and professional services by any place between 40 and 20 percent, depending upon which services are provided.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions or comments about that? No? Okay, that's good information to know. The next item is the rate table analysis from NCCI.
So NCCI, as part of their duties to the Workers' Comp Advisory Council, evaluated the effective medical fee schedule changes that went into effect April the 1st with the Fair Health rate tables and the combined impact on medical costs over all of medical services was negligible. Hospital outpatient services received a 0.3% increase. ASCs received a 3% increase. Physician services received less than actually a reduction of 0.6%. So overall, the impact of the changes from the medical fee schedule and rate tables through April of 2025 was negligible.
All right. That's a nice little summary on the third page for anybody who's skimming through the documents. Hey, are there any questions or comments from the group on this? Hey, is there any other new business that maybe didn't make it to the agenda? No? Any announcements? There's nothing noted on here, but I'm not sure. Sometimes you have them. Anyway, Dr. Snyder?
None that I have today.
Okay. I don't have any.
Okay. So next meeting, Tuesday, October the 14th, please mark your calendars. If there's any conflicts, the earlier you let us know, the happier we are. Since it's such a small committee, and I do appreciate all the work that all of you put in. We do actually have one announcement, and that is that the platform that we just used for this meeting was more complicated than the previous platform that we had. We just were notified today that without our knowledge, our information services had extended the 10 cloud contract. And so we will be going back to the 10 cloud format that we have previously used, where you just sign in with a password and you don't have to create your own account. So I hope for that will make it easier for the next meeting for all of those committee members. So that's good news for us as far as downloading or uploading the cases as well. So Tuesday, October 14th, we'll be using that the 10 cloud format. And then the second meeting, would you look on your calendars at December the 9th and let me know if currently you have any conflicts with that date. Try to get it in before the thoughts turn much more to Christmas rather than Thanksgiving.
I can make that meeting. My one stipulation is that I will just be coming back from a trip to England the day before on the 8th. So leading the meeting might not be a good idea because I'm sure I will be still discombobulated and definitely jet lagged for sure.
Okay.
But I can attend.
Make a note. Yeah, we'll make a note of that.
Okay. How about everybody? We're missing, there's a couple people who got proxies, so I guess we'll have to check with them by email.
Yeah.
December 9th looks okay for me. Yeah, I'd say December 9th looks okay for me.
Okay.
Okay.
As well.
Okay. Good. So we'll check with the other ones. Jennifer, you okay?
We can't hear you too well.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Marco. Yes, that date is fine.
Okay, great.
Okay, great. Well, I want to thank Christina. That first case was a real challenge, and we thank you for all of your work. And to the committee for all of their, the committee for all of their due diligence in not only looking at the cases, but also showing up for the meetings. We appreciate it very much.
Yes, thanks, everybody. All right, I will go ahead and make a motion to end the meeting, and can I get a second for that?
Second.
No moves. We are done. Thanks, everybody, for coming today.
Thank you. Have a good holiday. Be safe.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate your work.